welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 115. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is finally back with me. We are here in Auckland, New Zealand, and man, we're doing stuff right. We are at the Empire Tavern, which is a beautiful place here.
Very, very unique.
One of the oldest taverns, I think the oldest tavern, actually, in all of Auckland.
If not, we can make it official by saying
it is now.
It is now. It is the oldest tavern in this country.
It's really cool. I mean, they've got like a whole setup here. It looks like it used to be, I don't know what it used to be, a big hotel, a big building or something. They got all kinds of bars here. And we got a crew here, bro.
We got Rob Tasker.
Rob Tasker just showed up from Australia.
We got Wombat.
Wombat, who, by the way, is an assistant video editor at this point.
Yeah. Well, he's a video producer. He gets executive producer credits for all the awesome drone shots that
he helped make. He helped made our piece. If you saw the piece that we did on New Zealand, which we talked about it, you know, the bosses want us to do more like travel-related stuff. And so we did a little bit, and now he's making obscene gestures over there in somewhere around his crotch
area. I think he was grabbing
his
nuts.
So I don't know. Like, now he's just been demoted.
Oh, he smelled
Sorry,
it.
Wombat
he
has smelled just it. Been fired. No, but he provided us a bunch of badass drone footage. Yeah. It honestly made the piece because it was like this beautiful scenic stuff of New Zealand, and it really like made the whole thing like come together. Yep.
And down at the end of the table, we got Zane, the madman Zane down here, and the lovely Arlie's joining us as well.
Zane,
I butchered her name as well, I'm sure, but she didn't throw anything at me.
She said it's okay. She said it's French. Her dad's French, so you can say Arlie wrong. She said there's no right way about it.
There's no right way. So that's the crew we got.
Zane bought the first round of Frosty Beverage tonight.
Zane
so
is a wonderful
He's a good man.
Man
in my book. He was at the Brendan Schaub thing. He and his girlfriend were here at the Brendan Schaub thing that we were going to go to.
Yeah.
We were planning on going to.
Yeah.
And then we had a wrench thrown in our plans because we had this weird situation here in Auckland where the official weigh-ins are on Friday night, which I should say, it's still Thursday night back in the States, which is when we normally do this. But we're taking advantage of the time zone. It's Friday night here in Auckland. Friday night weigh-ins, Saturday morning ceremonial weigh-ins, Sunday fights. It's a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, I think this will still – depending on what the time change, I think it'll still come out later than we normally do.
True.
But so I know people have already been kind of chirping a little bit online, like, where's it at? Where's it at? I'm like, it's coming.
Well, here's the thing. Coming. You know, we're in the middle of this four-week MMA Roadshow extravaganza where USA Today actually stole our podcast name and called this the 2017 MMA Roadshow. And we're so damn busy, we can't even do the roadshow. We haven't had any and a half for the last 2 weeks because we've been doing work for our bosses and
doing our real work and stuff.
It's crazy.
How dare they?
Assholes.
How dare they?
I mean, no, sorry, they pay my bills.
I know. I should have been like, hey, that's my trademark name. You can't fucking say the roadshow. That's mine.
Or just
go ahead. That's cool. Just
or
keep
I mean, if you
me.
Like send my paycheck on Friday, like it's posted, you can use whatever you want. All right. Well, listen. Since we didn't get to do an and a half, I did want to talk about UFC 212 just for a little bit. We won't go crazy on it, but I know it's been a couple of days. But I had to say some stuff about this because all anybody wants to talk about is Max Holloway and how fantastic he looked. And I agree, man. I was so impressed by Max Holloway. The dude came down to Rio de Janeiro, and all week long he was confident. He was walking with some swagger. You know, he had a little pep in his step. But here's what I loved the most about it, Cole Coffee. The Jose Aldo that he beat was not a shitty version of Jose Aldo. You know what I mean? That was a great Jose Aldo. He looked phenomenal. Yep. He was quick. He was powerful, man. He had Holloway rocked. And it's funny because Fernanda Prachis, as all the Brazilians are, close to the Brazilian fighters. You know, she's kind of messaging me during the fight. She's on row two behind me.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, round one, what do you think? And I'm like, dude, Aldo looks on point tonight. Wobbled Holloway a little bit. You know, I was like, he's on point.
Yep.
Round two, what do you think? I gave Aldo round two. But, man, you saw the momentum start to shift a little bit.
You saw it shifting in two already because, you know, Max, he looked very stiff. He didn't look like the normal Max in that first one, but he immediately started loosening up in the second. I don't know if I'd give out in the second. Maybe I'd have to go back and watch it. I thought it was pretty close. But I thought Max was starting to take the momentum at that point, and then just once he started getting loose and getting a little cocky, then you saw Jose kind of
the Stockton slap
getting,
that he threw out there. Come on.
Getting a little stiff on his own. So I think he was a little surprised because they were both catching each other, and I thought it was incredible. I thought it was an incredible fight.
It was a great fight, man. It was a great fight. And Yeah, I just impressed by Max Holloway. And at 25 years old, and now here's a guy that says he'll fight everybody in the division. I love what he said. He's like, if I haven't fought you, I'm coming for you. Yeah. If I fought you already, get ready because I'm going to beat your ass again. Like, oh, yep. I love that. Not, yep. Well, I might move up to 155. I'm thinking about super fights. I'm chasing. No. If you're in my division, get ready, son, because we're going to go at it. Like, what more yep. could you ask from a UFC champion?
You got to clear out your division. Then you start looking. That's the way it was, and that's the way it should be.
This dude has 11 wins in a row, and he's still yep. saying, I'm not even worried about cleaning out my division. I'm talking about I'll clean out my division, yep. and I'll beat you again just to prove to you how much better I am than you.
That's the shit.
That's amazing. Amazing performance. Jose Aldo, dude, yep. what does he do now? What does he do now, man? And I'll tell you this. I tweeted well, first of all, did you see the – You had to see the tweet of Max Holloway. I love doing this now. I've got to start doing this more. And I'm glad fighters are starting to do it more. I feel a little kind of disrespectful sometimes, but I'll take a little post-fight video as they walk by press row. Yeah. And Max Holloway, man, he walked right up, saw my iPhone, and was like, pay me, Dana White, you know, yeah. getting up in the face. I love that. I also took one of Jose Aldo as he walked by, and I felt a little more uncomfortable about that one because it was sad.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like in tears, he man. So disappointed. But it turns out, for some reason, when I tweeted it, I think it only went to Sean Alshada. You know, if you put somebody's, like, I guess in my app, I just grabbed it wrong and pressed something wrong. So, literally, I hope Sean Alshada enjoyed the walk of Jose Aldo back.
He's probably like, why did he send that? He probably looked at his past tweets like, did I say some shit about Jose's
right,
walk
like, is he talking trash to me right like, now? Like, did I like, pick Jose and he's showing me
that I
suck?
He didn't reply back to thank you or anything?
No. So hopefully he enjoyed the walk back. But I do wonder.
Maybe he has you blocked.
That's probably what happened. I do wonder where Jose Aldo goes from here because, man, I felt so bad going into this. You know, Joe Rogan had said that thing about the Conor McGregor defeat had put an asterisk on Aldo's career, and I felt that honestly was accurate, yeah. you know, but I felt it was kind of unfair. But I mean, this wasn't a quick catch or everybody gets caught. I mean,
right.
this was I took your best shot, I battled back, and man, once he knocked him down and he got in mount and just like wouldn't let him up, I amazing man, I don't know where Aldo goes from here because I honestly feel that he was starting to get tired in the fight. And I do think the weight cut is tough on him, but I don't know that he does much better at 155 right now. There's some yeah. beasts at 155.
I mean, if it keeps him active and keeps him going, I mean, unless you think there's a possibility that he's already thinking about, oh, maybe Bellator will pay me. Maybe I have better life over there. I mean, you can't just give him a rematch. I mean, he was coming off of a loss before that one.
Absolutely not.
And it's just one of those things. I mean, you got to give him respect. He's been around for a long time, so you think they want to do whatever is right for him, whatever he wants to do. You can't force him out. You can't, you know, say, all right, we're going to throw you too far down, but you can't give him an immediate rematch. But, I mean, if they give him the option to go up, you know, maybe that's a good thing just to test the waters. But, you know.
What about the Cubs Swanson rematch after all these years? Like, I mean, I think Frankie Edgar deserves a title fight. Maybe now's finally the right time to make that Cub-Aldo rematch.
Why not?
He's been one. That Cub's been wanting that for a long time to get that one off.
I'm sure I'll ask for it more now because I think he's probably feeling that Aldo's a little bit diminished.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And he's just like, oh, hey, you know, I'll ride that wave, you know. And it's good. It'd be a good – I mean, he's still a top-notch. And, I mean, he was doing very well when it started. But, I mean, you can't – Yes, you can say he got tired and he can do all those sort of things. But, I mean, he was taking tough hits from Max. I mean,
Max
will wear you down. So, I mean, I don't think he's a diminished Aldo. I think he's still a dangerous. But is he the Aldo that he used to be?
It's done. It's done. I'm just going to call the UFC now. It's kind of late, but I'm going to call him right now. We're going to do Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar. And on the same card, we're going to do Cub Swanson versus Jose Aldo. So if Frankie Edgar gets hurt,
yep.
we get Cub Swanson. That's what we're going to do.
Madison Square
that's
Garden?
That's the way we do it.
Where are we doing it?
Oh, I like Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden?
Let's
gotta
do it.
Got to be up in the Northeast somewhere. Got to be near where Frankie's
Frankie
down.
Baby in the back. Yeah. All right, I like it. All right, listen, Claudia Gadella just looked dominant over Karolina Kovacevic.
Yeah,
just
I was
amazing.
Really, really.
Super dominant.
Yeah, man, I don't want to say surprised because, you know, Claudia is a beast, but man. The way that Kimlin, she did so good against Joanna, I thought mm-hmm. that it would be a lot closer.
Yep.
But, man, I mean, just shows. I mean, Gadella's a beast.
She is.
She's a beast.
All right, here's what I want to talk about. Vitor Belfort versus Nate Marquardt. A couple things about this. All week long, the people that I've been talking to in the UFC and this is people not, you know, necessarily like executives, but just like people that work. They're like,
under executives.
Yeah, yeah, not quite executives, like directors
like
and managers.
Directors.
No, they're like, hey,
now
bro.
Now you're gonna like, there's only a few directors.
I'm talking about like production.
Now you're throwing
people.
Them all on the bus. All right, there you go. Widen it a little bit. So
I'm
they
talking
can't catch
about
on.
People that.
That just know people that know people.
No, but I'll tell you what. I had a lot of people come to me. Every single person I talked to this week that came up to me, they were like, dude, how ridiculous was that Vitor Belfort decision? And I was like, I actually scored the fight for Vitor Belfort.
I wasn't hating. I wasn't hating on him. I mean, to me, I was even agreeing with the
peanut gallery over here did not like that at all. I think we've been cut off already.
I mean, I still think it was – I wanted – at the end of the third, I was waiting for somebody to kind of take it over a little bit, and I thought Vitor was pressing it a little bit more in the third, so that was enough for me. But, yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised either way. If Nate won, I would have been fine with it. If Vitor won, I would have been fine with it. So when Vitor got his hand raised, I was like, eh.
Well, I guess that's the thing. I didn't think it was a robbery. Like, they were like, how upset were you that it went through? I was like, nah, come on. Now, I will say this. I wasn't excited by the fight. I didn't think – I mean, it was cool to see, I guess, Vitor show some discipline and all those things, but it wasn't exciting.
Yeah. I thought that – I mean, Vitor still has some power. I mean, he looks – the post-TRT days, he looks very, very different. But I know he's still got power. He's still got some strength. But Nate took everything that he gave him. I just think Nate could have did a better job of pressing the pace a little bit and really controlling things, and that would have been enough to do it. And towards the end, he just seemed like a tired Nate.
I think Nate was more tired than Vitor, for sure.
And I think that's what did it.
Vitor wants five more fights.
But if that fight was in the States, maybe the decision wouldn't have gone that way.
Maybe. Vitor wants five more fights. I tell you, the only fight I really want to see, I want to see Vitor and Anderson. I want to see the rematch. I want to see it in Brazil. I want to see Vitor and Anderson in, like, a stadium. Put it in, like, Maracanã. At least go to Curitiba, back to that beautiful stadium in Curitiba. Do it in Maracanã. Do somewhere. I want to see them. There's not any fights that make sense to me for Anderson Silva either.
Yeah.
There's not many fights that make sense to Vitor, for Vitor
that,
Belfort.
I mean, I think Anderson will piece him up.
Probably.
The way that he's been doing it.
But you know
lately.
How big of stars they are down there. Yeah. Man, it would be an epic event.
It would be good.
All right, so here's what I want to talk to you.
Good for that country.
I want to talk to you, too. I know you weren't there. And I kind of think if you were there, I know how you would want to go with this. But, you know, we're doing these new experimental things with the MMA Roadshow with this four international events in 4 weeks and doing all that. And post-fight, I worked hard. I got everything done at the press conference. But then instead of going back to the room and keep working and keep working and keep working, I went to the beach. Now, nobody should be surprised that I went to the beach and got a few frosty beverages. But I did it in a work capacity. I got a lot of Instagram posts. I got a lot of Twitter posts. Post-fight react. Vitor Belfort was there. Hung out with Vitor Belfort for a good hour or two talking about stuff. Mm-hmm. Got some cool images of Max Holloway coming out of the hotel, standing next to Vitor Belfort. And by the way, Max Holloway is as big as Vitor Belfort, at least height-wise. It's scary. It was weird. But I don't know. And I think the stuff was well-received. But, you know, we're trying to rethink how we do coverage and all that. And I don't know. I kind of half felt guilty the whole time because I was like, I'm not doing anything. But at the same time, it was like some cool images and some moments that most people don't get to see. I mean, we're traveling the world. You know what I mean? We get to be in beautiful places like New Zealand. You know, we get to show little moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. I'm not gonna lie. I felt cool. Like we got some cool stuff. And in fact, Fernanda took a great picture of the bus driver pulling the bus over.
Yeah.
To jump out and take a picture with Vitor and Simon Simano back at the website, put it on the website. But
like that at least helped that he put on the website. I mean, I think stuff like that, I mean, it's good, it's branding, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, we could talk about it.
But if you were on the beach with me, I bet you'd been all right with it.
Well, no, yeah, but, you know, while you were on the beach, I was finishing your last edit.
Sure.
So while you were drinking your beer, I was editing the last of the post-fight.
I wasn't drinking beer. I was just hanging out.
Oh,
okay, I had a couple beers.
I was like, please.
Then
why would you go to the beach?
So I don't know, but that's what – I feel like it's well-received. And so, like, I feel like I don't know. I'm kind of interested to hear from, like, Roadshow listeners, like, hit us up on Twitter. Like, I mean, do you want to see that shit? Or are you like, bro, we need more, like, press conference stuff and stories and
should
I don't
we
know.
Did we tweet any of that from the main account or was it just all personal accounts?
And it personal and then retweeted mainly, I think.
Retweeted.
I mean, I went to the company, too. It wasn't just me. I'm not trying to
Wait, like, well, no, that's what
like
I'm
a
saying.
Selfish bastard that only cares about
myself? Well,
no, but
that's
myself?
What I'm just saying. Like, yeah, I mean, if that stuff's going out there and they're doing it, then I can see where they're like, okay, cool. You know, then then it's really doing something, you know. But, no, I thought it was definitely unique. It was definitely different stuff that you don't ever see. I mean, at least fighters were there. That I think that's what made it kind of cool, that you guys were there to catch the fighters. Because if it was just a bunch of the production crew and stuff hanging out having beers, then it's like, who gives a
fuck? But you know, in Brazil, you know where everybody's going to be. They're going to be at the kiosk right across from the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Might be a little tougher. Like this week, like today or tomorrow or, well, Sunday, it's going to be tougher to figure out where everybody is because they could be anywhere in town.
Yeah.
So that'll be a little harder to pull off. All right. Listen, a couple of things I want to say from the Brazil card, and then we'll move on. Brian Kelleher, who I ended up on the flight with, flew down there to Brazil with him, and he was, you know, puffing his chest and talking about how great of a job he was going to do. He was asking who was going to be there in terms of matchmakers at Dana because he was going to ask for the bonus. I mean, it was awesome to hear the confidence. And then to go in there and do what he did and then absolutely piss off the entire Brazilian crowd was amazing. I'm telling you, it's the loudest I've ever heard that building, and they were booing the hell out of him.
Really?
And I thought it was. And the funniest part was that you can appreciate is that, you know, you've got the security, and they're ready to walk him back just like they always do, right?
Yeah.
And then he starts going on his rant, and the boos start coming, right? And then they come more and more and more. And all of a sudden, I see our good buddy, Joe Williams, head of security, and he doesn't really see me, but you can just see Joe going like, you know, kind of that sigh or just like, you know, just the defeated sigh.
Yeah.
And he starts, like, calling other security. And they had to bring extra security and, like, literally make a human shield around Brian Kelleher as he's walking out. And, you know, he makes it by press row. And it was funny. I got another little video of him. He was like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you can see him kind of tucked under. And he's looking.
And so and because he had that human shield, I was like, I'm just going to keep watching him. Because, you know, he walks by press row. And I'm like, I'd already filed the result. So I just kept watching him. He's going off to the right, going off to the right, going on. And then he gets over there where he cuts over. You know, you get past press row, and then you make a right, and you get in front of the stands. And all of a sudden, beer cans, glasses. Yeah. I mean, it's just chunking everywhere. And you got the security guards just making the shield over. Yeah. And I'm like, those poor guys had the worst job
ever. I think he took one in the face.
Did he really?
Or in the head or something. He said, but he's like,
I didn't get to
he's
see-
like, I'm not bleeding or whatever. He's like, yeah, I'm still pretty. But, yeah, I think they hit him in the head with one of them.
It was
because, you know, the Brazilians, as much as they're guarding, they're like, fuck it, I'm not going to take one for this American.
Bro,
fuck him.
Here's the funny part is that, so, like, you know, we're flying on the way down there and we're talking about it, and, you know, he's never been to Brazil. And I'm like, well, you know, they're gonna chant the whole you're going to die thing. And he's like, yeah. I was like, but, bro, don't worry about it. I was like, it's a cool atmosphere. I was like, it's a little bit intimidating, I'm sure. I was like, but the great thing about the Brazilians is, I was like, if you put on a good performance,
they'll love you.
I said, I was like, listen, man. If I have seen it in Brazil. I have seen a Brazilian get knocked out cold, and the American gets on the mic and says, thank you very much for having me. It was an honor to compete here. And everybody, they clap them. You know, they got a Brazilian late, still cold on the floor getting oxygen, and the crowd's clapping.
They only like winners
down
there.
I didn't know he was going to step up and be like, oh, by the way, F you, I'm here.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. The TV didn't give it. You couldn't hear the crowd as well. Like, you could hear it swelling up. But for it to affect him, it had to be really, really loud. But he could have just took it in stride and just kept talking. But I think the fact that it was so loud that he couldn't really hear what was going on, then he was like, all right, now I have to address it. And that didn't really come off, like, watching it on the broadcast. Because all I could tell was like, okay, wow, he looked like he really snapped really easy. But to hear you say that it was so loud and then to hear him in the back say it was that loud that he couldn't hear anything. And I was like, okay, now I see why he was like, fuck it. You know, they're all coming at me, you know, then why
the
not?
The boos were as loud as the cheer was the night Nogueira knocked out Brendan Schaub. It was that loud.
That's
I was
crazy.
Just like, I can't even hear myself. But, dude, so Kelleher flies on the way down, says, I'm going to go in, I'm going to shock the world, I'm going to get a bonus, and I'm going to get on that Long Island card. And I'm like, all right, bro. I mean, you know.
Yep.
I mean, it's good to have dreams.
Right.
It's good to have goals. Son of a bitch did every single one of them.
He's on the card, too?
He got on the Long Island card, too.
Good for him.
Literally did every single thing he said he was going to do.
Next time, just add to the list, piss off a country.
Yeah. You know? It was great. So, all right. Enough about Brazil. Just had to talk about it. We can get enough and a half, so I had to talk about that. Was bummed, I will say, for, you know, being Vegas crew that we are. our Syndicate MMA boys and girls out there.
Yeah.
Eric Spicy. I will say Eric Spicy, man, that was a tough fight for him against Antonio Carlos Jr.
That was tough.
But I thought that was a fun fight. Like, you know, fun scrambling jiu-jitsu, man.
He had his moments. He had his moments. Man, I thought that was the best that Shoeface had looked in a long time.
Shoeface is
time.
A beast on the ground. Because that was the hard part for Spicy.
He is so good. He is so good when he gets down there. And I mean, he really controlled him. He dominated him. And but you're right. I mean, like, I'll be honest. I mean, I know as much as we try to stay, you know, unbiased towards any fighter, any crew, any particular martial arts team or whatever. But we've done a lot of work with Syndicate over the years. We've done interviews with a lot of these cats through their work on the Tough shows and all the other
stuff.
Yeah,
it's right down the street from my house. Yeah, they close. Have three people on top.
So it's hard to not want. I mean. Granted, I want everybody to win. You know, I want them to win, but you know there's always going to be a loser. But when you build sort of a relationship with these people, you really want them to win. You know, so when Jamie and them went down there, and Jamie was especially – that was a tough fight for
Jamie
me to Moore, watch.
Vivian Pereira.
You know, I was so nervous for her. I knew after watching what Vivian did to Valerie Letourneau, who was a much bigger fighter and just dominated her, I was like, man – Jamie, if she's not ready for this, this could be a bad fight for her. But I was pulling all I could for her, and watching that happen, I was just like, man, she just wasn't able to pull the trigger at times. And then watching, you know, and watching Spicely had go down as well. Just I felt bad for the team because it's a good team.
It was tough.
They're good people, but
yeah,
it was rough.
I'll tell you
rough.
What, man. You know, talk about being close to my house. Man, they are so close to the new UFC facility. And so is Extreme Couture. Extreme Couture and
Syndicate. Yeah, they're one,
and,
like one street down because that's off Rainbow, right?
Extreme Couture and Syndicate are both about 5 minutes from the new UFC office. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how much those teams use the Performance Center because
right. That's
some high-tech stuff there. I think they'll use it a lot. All right. Enough about Brazil. I missed you there, buddy.
Yeah, you did not.
Sorry, bro.
Liar.
I did. I like having you there. It's fun. We didn't have nearly – plus I had to do a lot of video work, and I'm not very good at it. So that made me the video guy. So
yeah,
I really missed having you there. All right, but we did make it to Auckland, New Zealand for UFC Fight Night 110. I did go home for about 12 hours, see my wife, see my kid.
You washed your one pair of shorts?
Did wash my one pair of shorts. Did my laundry, got everything. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and admit it. I fucked up on packing. So we're gone for 2 weeks. Basically, there's no way you go back from Auckland to the States to go to Singapore. Like, I mean, you could, but you'd be an absolute moron.
Could if you had business class, like, all around. Like, that's just the bomb.
Let's throw the – well, we'll get back
we'll
to that.
Get back to
we'll
that.
Get back to that. I messed up. I bottom line is I looked at the weather for Singapore. It's hot. I mean, just surface of the sun hot.
Yep.
And in my head, even though I've been here before, in my head I'm just like, you know, stupid American. It's way over there to the left.
But close.
I mean, way. Yeah,
close
to
that.
But both of them, they're like just, I mean,
they're like
right there.
I mean, you look on a globe, they're like only inches away.
I mean, literally, they're like, I mean, inches. These countries are 3 inches apart. I mean, think about that.
That's like Texas to like California.
Yeah. So in my head, I thought, well, you know what? I'll pack basically 1 week's worth of clothes. And I think, you know, part of it too was, and some people did tell me it's winter in New Zealand, so be ready, like it's winter. Yeah. But I just left Brazil where it's winter in Brazil. They're like, and these Brazilians are walking around. It's like 82 degrees. They're like, it's so cold. Turn the air conditioner off in the taxi. I'm cold. I'm like, what is – it's 82 degrees. It's beautiful. So I think in my head, even though I knew that it was winter here, I didn't actually look at the numbers.
Right.
And so I basically just packed shorts. And now if you can hear – and I know my dulcet tones, man. I know they're normally so soothing. You just like them. The bass.
We still got some bass. It's just up a couple octaves.
Yeah, it sounds – I'm stuffed up.
Yeah, you're a little nasally.
I'm a little nasally. But yeah, so I screwed
up.
But
I like how you gave the impression that had you looked, you would have put jeans because that's full of shit.
You're going to sell me out, aren't you?
I'm going to totally sell you out. We knew we were going to South Korea in the middle of fucking winter, and you brought shorts. I don't think Morgan owns a pair of pants. If you ever want to – start a charity. Start a Get John Morgan a Pair of Jeans charity.
I do have jeans. They're not comfortable, man.
I've never seen your jeans. I want to go through your closet.
I mean, they're there.
Maybe we'll do a – maybe in the half show, we'll just be in your closet. And we'll just like
– John Morgan in the closet? I don't know if I like this and a half episode that you're planning.
The exposé you've
here.
All been waiting for, John Morgan in a closet.
Not very comfortable with this episode that you're planning, my friend. I will share the things I want to share on own time, sir.
Well, I will tell you, I had my own little moment when I was looking at the weather before I came over here. For some reason, I just put on my phone. I said, weather.com. I said, hey, what's the weather in Auckland? And for some reason, my phone went to Celsius. And I'm like, had to sit there for a minute trying to find a setting. And then I had to do it. And then I had to go to another site to convert it because I couldn't get the site. And then I was like, okay, no, that's kind of cold. I was like, well, I'll bring a pair of jeans. I haven't put my shorts on the whole entire time.
Oh, I know.
It's been a little cold, but it's not that bad. It's nothing like –
it's not bad. It's just
– it's not brutal. But it's just different because we were in South Korea, and it was like winter.
Oh, that was freezing.
And it was freezing, but like when we were at the – we got to the rugby game that I've never been to. And we were lucky
here
enough to
go
to that in New Zealand. And that rain and that cold the other night.
Shout out, Lucas.
It felt really, really, really cold.
Oh, I felt really cold.
It was just brutal. I mean, I think because we're not that far from the water, just that cold air coming in from the water or something just
gets you.
We're
getting soft. We're getting soft in our old age. We did get to say we did get to fly business down here. Let's just throw it out there. Yeah. On the Dreamliner. On American Airlines Dreamliner business class.
Now, we will say it wasn't that we were – bought those tickets, but we luckily able to use system-wide upgrades that you get when you reach certain status. No. And luckily enough, even then it doesn't guarantee you're going to get it. But this particular flight, I don't think, was anywhere near full. And so we were able to get upgraded with our certificates, and we were lucky enough to get into business class for a nice 14-hour flight.
Now, I should update everybody listening right now. I should actually update again. I was going to say a pitcher of beverage had showed up. Now there's two pitchers of beverage have showed up.
They're multicolored. Well,
don't refill this one. Let me kill this drink first, sir. I don't know what it – I'm just going to finish it.
Is it what?
Is it what? Oh, well, hold on. Let me finish this frosty beverage.
It's enough.
God, I love New Zealand.
Right?
Cheers all the way around. We got a couple of
you
pitchers
know, Aussie,
on the table.
Aussies say like the – Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. What do New Zealanders say?
Kiwi,
when you
kiwi,
chug
kiwi.
Kiwi, kiwi, kiwi. What do you say? Cheer, bro. Cheer? Bro? It's because you say bro on the end of everything?
I have heard they say bro
cheer,
a lot, right?
Cheer, bro.
Cheer, bro.
As we neck this real quick. Mm.
All right. By the way, since we are kind of a I like to think of myself as kind of, a common man. Would it be out of line for me to say that in business class on the Dreamliner on the way down, my filet was a little tough?
It was tough. I mean, if you're going to pay $3,000 or whatever it is, could you have a tender?
Not that we did, to clarify.
No, thank goodness. But you got to imagine, though. Dude, they're trying to cook shit in an airplane in a small compartment. It's amazing at what they're actually able to put out at times. But, yeah, whatever. If we want to act like snobby snobs for a moment, the filet was not the best.
I was just killing time while I chugged my beer.
I know you were.
Empire
Did you like
Tavern.
The warm nuts that they gave you beforehand?
Sir, we'll save that for the and a half closet episode. Yes, I will take a refill if you don't mind. Thank you. Thank you, my friends.
John Morgan's warm nuts in
the
closet.
Is this mine right here? This is mine? I was double parked. I didn't even know I was double parked. Of course. Of course. We know all kinds of – we know the minibus and double park. That's all we need to know. Good times. Don't start doing with your cunt thing.
What? Sick cunt?
Once you get Why
would you
roll,
bring it up?
He never
Why did you
stopped.
Bring it up? You.
Okay. Listen, we did
You're
say –
You're a proper sick cunt.
I knew he wouldn't stop. All right. I will say, so just like last week with Brian Kelleher on the flight down, we flew down this time.
Yep.
With a fighter. We flew down with Tim Elliott.
Yep.
I want to say this. I was really surprised that we flew down with Tim Elliott because we were kind of a day behind because I wanted to go home and see my family first.
Thank you very much.
Tim Elliott flew out of the United States on Tuesday or Monday with us where he landed on Wednesday. He basically landed a little more than 48 hours before the weigh-ins.
Yeah.
And we don't want to pull back the curtain too much. Some things are said in confidence, but he admitted he had quite a bit of weight to cut.
Yeah. But also, I don't think it's throwing anything under, you were one of the ones that when they brought up the weight, the weigh-ins was, and they were under the impression that it was on Saturday and not Friday. And those hours make a big difference, and especially when you're coming in, you know, a couple days away from it. But I'm glad that you actually said something, because I think that helped set him up, because I was a little worried. So, like, today when he was going up there, I was worried. I was, please be on. But the dude was disciplined. I mean, here we are. We're in the lounge. You know, we were lucky enough to able to kind of get him on the lounge with
us. Well, you get that when you're in business class.
When you're in business class.
Even if the filet is going to be tough.
Even if the filet is tough. So we got to get in the business lounge, and it wasn't like there was, like, a huge spread of food, but there was still food. There were some drinks that you can have or whatever. And he was over there eating his hard-boiled egg that he brought with him, like some cherry tomatoes and other things. And you could tell he was doing that weight cut thing, you know. And it's tough, you know. But I felt good that you actually had that conversation with him saying the weigh-ins were on Friday so they could keep him on point, because they weren't under that. So I don't know what misconnection that is, and if it's the UFC that needs to be better about watching that shit or something. No fighter should be coming in there,
not
taking a flight there,
sure.
And not 100% sure what the fuck's going on.
I agree.
That's detrimental to their fight.
But he made it, and how great was his attitude? Because we kind of brought it up at Media Day.
Yeah.
Like, hey, bro, I know you have kind of a short turnaround time,
yeah.
And he's never fought out of the side of the United States. And his first time outside of the United States, he's flying 14 hours. You know, not like, oh, I flew up to Canada or I flew down to Mexico. Like, 14 hours, first time ever. And he says, listen, I don't give a damn, dude. I'm not going to miss weight because I had, you know, because of flight. I'm not going to lose a fight because I can't sleep.
Right.
You know, and damn it if he didn't get up there today and do it, man.
And he looked good.
Oh, yeah.
He looked good. He didn't look drained. I mean, didn't look like he had a struggle. I mean, I know it was a hard one, but he didn't look like he had struggled. So
no, I agree.
That's good.
I'm looking forward to that fight. Tim Elliott, Ben Wynn, man. That's going to be a fantastic fight.
I was going to say, you jump over to Ben before we get too far. Speaking about Kelleher that pissed off a country, Ben happened to piss off a country here.
If you didn't watch this piece, the piece that we were talking about earlier that Wombat helped us out with, you should watch the piece because, again, it's kind of one of this travel-related pieces we're trying to do, show more of the places we are.
Right.
You know, and there's some logic behind it. I dig it. But, you know, we decided let's kind of ask around a little bit what people thought about New Zealand, what we
think
of Phoenix. And Ben basically said it's like a shitty version of Melbourne.
Yeah, which is crazy because it wasn't like we coaxed him for it.
No.
Or like we're prodding, like, hey, be funny.
Hey, give us a good line.
Be whatever. Be the funny guy or piss off a country. You know, and he said these things, and it's funny, but immediately reading the comments on YouTube and then talking to our friends here tonight, he totally galvanized this country to want him to fucking lose his ass really bad.
So Tim Elliott, the Americans going to be getting all, like, the support?
Dude, he's going to get some love. You know? It's amazing, but, yeah, so I had to throw that in there.
That was
if
funny.
You haven't listened, go back. And I don't think he – I think there was that part of him that after he said he was like, ooh, I shouldn't have said it, you know, but
he
you
said it.
I
mean, you could have said, like, bro, can you not use that?
Yeah, but he did.
You know what? And if you did, I'd probably
well, if he
that.
Had said that, honestly, for sure. I mean, if a fighter's going to say, dude, can you maybe not say that? Of course. I could be a dick and say, well, too bad.
Yeah.
But I would never fucking do that. That's ridiculous. I mean, we're in this for the long haul. I'm not going to do something. If you ask me to do whatever, I would expect the same courtesy just out in life.
Yep.
You know, even I've worked events with other media outlets, and I've just been on an off night, and you start an interview and just completely stink, and you're like, bro, I don't want to use that front thing. Can you guys just fucking maybe, like, let's just kill that part? And just as a general consensus, a common courtesy, like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
We won't do it. I mean, so that's just part of the business. If a fighter's like, you know, granted, you know, if a fighter's like, I killed somebody last night.
Can you not run
can
that?
Can you not run that? I might not run it, but I will call somebody. I will call somebody.
Oh, that's too good. Yeah, so that's a kind of, you know, the video that we made is a kind of piece I can see a lot of people going, why don't I want to click on that?
Yeah.
And to be honest, if you're a hardcore MMA fan, and I'm assuming you are if you're listening to this podcast, it ain't necessarily for you. But go watch it anyway. There's a little nugget in there for you, you know?
That's right.
All right, so when we first got here, I got to say, the welcome thing that the UFC did, I know it may sound a little bit kind of I don't know. I could see looking at it on the PR sheet being like, this is kind of cheesy. Like, oh, we're going to show you the culture of wherever.
Right.
But, dude, that was so awesome, man. That was so cool to go to this, you know, this village, basically, of Maori warriors and, you know, see, like, this beautiful area that they had, this park. And you know, I mean, the landscape
prime
was
real estate
right
there.
Oh, my God. It was phenomenal. And then they did the welcoming ceremony, the Hawker welcoming ceremony for Derek Lewis and Mark Hunt. But I just thought it was really cool. And I will say this. I mean, I think most people probably seen it on YouTube right now, but something they didn't see that I'll always remember was when we met the tribe elder, and he greeted us with the with the nose touch thing. I kind of forgot that was like a thing, you know?
Thing, yeah.
And I don't know, man. It was cool. It was a little awkward at first. You know what I mean? Kind of like when you're like, do you do the one kiss or the two kisses? Am I in Europe? Am I
in
Brazil?
Is it a head? Is it a forehead thing?
That's what
is it a nose?
But that was kind of cool, man. Like, that's something that I'll always remember, man. You know, that'll always stick out to me.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was a nice sign of respect, and you kind of wake up to the moment that you realize, oh, wow, I'm in some other place. There's these other cultures, these other things that you kind of forget about that if we weren't so damn tired and other stuff, you know, that's probably what we would have thought of.
Yep.
Like, oh, okay, this might happen or whatever. So, yeah, it catches you off guard, but, you know, you just roll with it. You know, when a guy starts grabbing you, pulling you in, and starts putting his forehead against yours and touching your nose, and you're just like, what? Oh, you just kind of roll with it, and you're like, oh, shit, that's right. I forgot about that, you know.
And it was really cool,
too. So it was kind of neat.
They did the welcome where, you know, the warriors come out, and they represent, you know, different gods and different spirits or whatever. Yeah. And then they lay the peace branch offering, and Derek's coach, Crew Bob. I thought it was cool.
Good old Bob Perez.
I thought it was cool because, like, the way he came out, like, because he was, like, dead serious, you know, like, he came out, like, very much, like, respectful and honorable and, like, came out. And, like, the way he kneeled down. I mean, I know it sounds.
He didn't take his eyes
this
off.
This sounds silly,
of them,
but, yeah, like, I was impressed by it. And he said, I was told you're never supposed to break eye contact.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, that makes sense. You know, like, if, you know, a warring or, you know, potentially warring faction or whatever is coming.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are their intentions?
Yeah.
I'm laying down this peace offering, but let me see what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you would be like, hey, I'm going to bend down, but I'm keeping my eyes on you. You're keeping your eyes on me.
I was going to say, I told him, I was like, good job. Like,
he
missed it. Like, I could have just swiped down the ground.
And
what if you missed it and you're sitting there awkwardly trying to find the little branch?
Don't break eye contact. Don't break eye contact.
Where is it at? And he did a really, really good job. And he kept that in his pocket and carried it around for, like, the rest of the day.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we got a picture of him that. But I thought it was super, super cool to see that. And it was neat, like, Derek and even Mark, I mean, like, Mark had this, you know, had seen this before.
Of
course. The last time the UFC was here, 3 years ago, they did, and they did it down at the
and
Harbor.
And the local media was joking with us that they're, like, Haka crazy, like, anytime somebody comes,
anytime
let's just
do a Haka. We
do a Haka,
yeah.
But for us that don't come, it's pretty cool.
It was neat.
You know?
I mean, it's neat because, I mean, all we ever see is just like what we saw at the rugby game. You see the guys, they all doing the slap in their arms and them doing the face, but to see the whole ceremony and them having come out and have there being an order and a progression to it, you know, is just so much more involved, and it's very, very interesting and neat to watch, and it's a big reminder of a lot of the cultural things that we don't have in a lot of aspects back home, you know. So it's neat to go to a place that really places a high value on tradition and cultural things that, you know, so often, you know, get forgotten. So it was really, really neat.
I know you didn't get to join me the first 2 weeks of this, and we're going to finish up the last two together, but I'm exhausted right now. I think my wife is half pissed at me. My kid misses me. But I will say, man, you know, this being the third leg of this trip, you know, Sweden, Brazil, now New Zealand, like, cultural moments like that are pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah.
They really are.
Those are the little things that make it worth it. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the work grind, but there's moments you have to find time to kind of sit and realize how lucky and blessed you can be a lot of times. You know, I mean, it's a lot of long hours. Like, granted, even tonight, sitting here recording this, we're able to kind of feel a little more normal. Like, we've been going nonstop. You know, people talk a lot of times, you know, like, oh, you got the best job, and, oh, man, so lucky you. I mean, we've been pulling 15, 16-hour days every day since we've been here, you know. I mean, it's tough, but, I mean.
And we say we feel normal. Like, it's like we're drinking with our buddies.
Right.
Like, we're literally doing a show talk.
Yeah,
they're doing their own thing. So, all right, well, listen, let's do this. I do want to talk a little bit about this card and our experiences that we had this week. I do also want to have a frosty beverage and maybe get a little bathroom break in. While we do that, I want to play a little bit of the audio. We've been talking to Joe Carr, going back to that Las Vegas conversation we had, talking about each market as we go. And, you know, he shared a little bit of knowledge. You know, how do you pick New Zealand over Australia?
Right.
What's the commitment to the market? How much, you know, what does the future hold? What does 2017 hold? He gives a couple little hints. So while we try to act normal for a few minutes, let's play a little bit of something by Joe Carr.
Talk about Auckland. Beautiful place, obviously. Not a huge town. amazing that you get to bring Mark Hunt there. But knowing that, you know, Australia, geographically, it's so close to Australia. I know it's not the same market, but is it tough for you to pull the trigger and say, let's do New Zealand? Or was it because Mark Hunt was available? I mean, how do you end up back in what's, you know, a small building, a small country, but obviously one that seems very passionate for the sport?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, we try to balance that. So Auckland or New Zealand's not going to be a place that we come back every year. But, you know, it's a similar model to the U.S., Canada, and Australia as far as we have pay-per-view business there, both residential and commercial. And we've seen, especially after the last event we had in Auckland, like the spike in not only residential buys, but just commercial interest in the bar business and everything like that grow, similar to what we saw after 193 in Australia. Like, that, the course and direction of our business in Australia has completely changed since bringing that event there. It's pretty incredible. And now we finally have Western Australia over the line. So the hope is that we're going to be in Perth in the near future. So when any of these markets that have that transactional element, it's good to get in there. And we actually have a TV renewal coming up with Sky in New Zealand and go back and show them that we're committed to the market and we're not going anywhere. And it just aligned perfectly, too, with obviously Hunt being available and going back and being able to fight there. He wasn't there on the last card, you know, being a Kiwi. So it was a perfect storm for us in the right time. And, you know, any time we can go back to a market like that, especially after the success we had last time, and I know there was clamoring for it. And then you have, I mean, forget about just like the, I guess, the financial and the commercial side of the business. Think about like the talent that's emerged, too, with like Robbie Whittaker, you know, Jake Matthews, and some of the younger guys coming up from Australia, New Zealand. You know, Dan Hooker, I think, will be fighting on the card. Not necessarily young talent, but Mr. Kelly as well, right, in a pretty big fight. So, you know, it's just, you make these investments and bringing these big events there, and it just kind of completely changes the nature of your business in these markets, all the way down from the talent, you know, to your revenue prospects. So that's kind of where we are in New Zealand as well.
And that market's kind of unique because they get the morning shows, and it works out great because it works out as U.S. you know, prime time. But it's funny because I don't know, in some ways you think, oh, they're getting kind of shafted, they do the morning shows, but I've been over there multiple times, and it seems like they almost like enjoy the morning show.
I think of it as the equivalent as the 10 a.m. Pacific games for the NFL, right? And if you're a fan, you're still going out to the bar and you're going to spend the day there. And that's why I think our pubs business, our commercial business is so strong in Australia. But that, it's become the Sunday morning/afternoon program, you know, because a lot of their other product is on Saturdays and Saturday night. So it actually worked out well. And I think it actually gives us better flexibility when you compare it to Europe, where it's obviously on in the middle of the night. It's very difficult for us to bring, you know, pay-per-views or our highest caliber cards there because you're doing it in the middle of the night there. You know, we did Manchester with Bisping last year, but that's an irregularity. That's not the rule, right? Whereas in Australia, like, it's very easy for us to bring pay-per-views because you can do them Sunday night there, and it's still Saturday night primetime here. There's no conflict. It doesn't matter where the feed's coming from as long as it's Saturday night in our time slot. So, you know, even when we think about Perth next year, you know, beginning of the year, should that be a pay-per-view? Like, that's on the table. Whereas in some of these other markets, like even Asia, it's more difficult because it's earlier. You know, Australia's a little later, right, where it's kind of like a late morning, afternoon, you know. Asia's kind of early morning, it's a little tougher, but Australia is perfect for us as far as any of these international markets. You could argue that's even easier than a Brazil, when the Brazil cards, you've been down there when they've gone to 3 or 4 in the morning local time. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, at least with Australia, it's probably the best outside of the U.S.
And now you mentioned the Asia too. So as you manage those properties, Asia and Australia, I mean, I guess from an American point of view, you're like, well, geographically they're the same, yeah. So, but it hasn't necessarily been run by the same offices, right? Is that the strategy moving forward? Like, why does it have to be separated? Does it not make sense for everything to be together almost over there?
It is aligned now. It was separate. I think that was a few things. I mean, obviously we had changes and everything going on, but I think that at the time it kind of made sense because Australia's a pay-per-view business. Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, very similar businesses from a pay-per-view, obviously English-speaking Commonwealth countries. So like, it's very similar mentality. So it kind of made some sense, but the travel didn't necessarily make sense. But I think what we're doing now is aligning it as kind of Asia-Pacific as a whole. So we don't think about it, at least I don't think about it as, oh, we're doing 3 events in Asia and 2 events in Australia, New Zealand. I'm thinking, hey, we're doing 5 events in the Asia-Pacific region this year, right? No different than the 5 events in kind of the Europe, Middle East, and Africa region. And I think what you're gonna see is that flow where we'll still be heavy kind of Aussie and Kiwi fighters on those cards, but you'll see a lot more Asian talent sprinkled through as well, and vice versa. You know, I think, you know, someone like Robbie Whittaker, I guess, has been clamoring to fight in Asia and wants to fight in Singapore. You know, that's not gonna happen on this card, but he's probably gonna be there as a guest fighter and whatnot and build his profile. So I think you're gonna see a lot more, you know, cross-pollination, you know, in that side of the world, you know, given that they are. And the funny thing is that if you look at Western Australia, you know, Perth is closer to Singapore than Singapore is to Tokyo, Seoul, or Shanghai, right? I think people just think of it as like one big region. It's all, it's Asia. Like, it's really not, right? I think Perth to Singapore is like a 4-hour flight. Singapore to Tokyo, Shanghai, or Seoul is like a 7 or 8 hour flight, right? So you start thinking about things that way, you know, it kind of changes the dynamic a little bit. So Australia, New Zealand, you know, is just on fire for us since 193, which is great. And now we're kind of focusing our attention, you know, north in that region as well as we continue to expand in Asia.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. John Morgan, Cole Coffey here, and we've got a guest who was just sitting in the peanut gallery earlier. He was he was gesturing, gesticulating.
Testiculating?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
I think it's
if
when you gesture with your nuts.
I tend to do that only in private forum.
Ross Tasker from
That's for that and a half in the closet with John.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this podcast that's coming, and I'm intrigued, John. This is a side of you we weren't expecting.
Sir,
but I think the people deserve the truth.
The people deserve
you
to know the story.
You do nothing if not preach the truth. So I look forward to it.
I'm afraid of exposing that side. Yeah. All right, listen, Rob Tasker here from Fox Sports Australia. He's joined us before. He's joining us again. This time we're doing it in New Zealand.
What an auspicious honor it is to be invited back, even if it is in the, and forgive me if I quote this wrong, the trashier version of Melbourne that we come to here in the beautiful city of Auckland.
Sir, don't you get the Ben Wynn wrong. It's just the grimier.
It's a grimier
version,
city. I apologize.
You know, I mean, that could be like a positive thing, right? Like, isn't that kind of like, you know, like hip hop? Like, bro, that's grimy. Oh, that's grimy.
That's ratchet.
That's rat. You know what I mean?
Is that really?
Are you saying rat shit or are you
ratchet?
Saying ratchet?
Ratchet.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's like, that's bad.
You're on your own.
But I heard it was bad, but then I heard it was good.
All right, we're getting old. All right, a couple things. Rob Tasker, I want to ask you. Joe Carr mentioned a little bit. Sounds like Sydney in November.
Yeah.
From what I understand, Perth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
It's legal. Early. And that's the key thing.
It's going to happen early 2018. I guess the bottom line is they just didn't get the legalization done.
Yeah, they had some dates secured in November, which, you know, if you can't guarantee that it's going to happen at a certain point, you need to move on, you know.
Look,
a great result. The sport is now legal inside the cage, which I'm preaching the converted here, but we know it's about safety. It's about making sure these guys can compete in a safe environment. So it's good that, you know, it's taken a while in Australia, as you boys know full well, to get it to the level where it's legal everywhere. But now it is, and we can expect it will certainly be first half of 2018. It's just a question.
Let me ask you a question, because I always say, jokingly, Perth was kind of like America's New York. You know, it was the last holdout. It was the last place. But that might be
the first time I've ever heard as referred to as New York City. That's incredible. They'll love that. You're going to be a hero to the people of Perth now.
Well, that's what I want to ask. I mean, because I had heard people, you know, griping forever. It's got to be in Perth. Is there, obviously not knowing a lot about Perth.
You've been talking to Saw the Hulk Pulele is what you've been
That's
doing.
What I want to know. Is there anything about Perth that's so important to the market, or was it just the fact that we need to have this whole country, this whole continent done?
Perth is, look, you need to have the whole country, the whole continent done, much like we needed New York to ratify, because it's just ridiculous that it's not at this point. The thing about Perth, that I love Perth. It's one of the great cities of Australia, and it is just it's a big country town. It's the biggest, you know, state in Australia. Obviously, Western Australia is a huge landmass, but it's a big country. It feels like you're going out to a backwater town. It's great, and they are so passionate about everything. You know, we took a basketball team there, and they sell out every week. It's one of the biggest things in the sport, and basketball's not even that big a sport in this country, and they just froth to it. They're absolutely in love with it, and I've been saying to the years. I've said it to Joe Carr. I said it to Dana White. I said it to Tom, the great man Tom Wright. This thing will sell out almost overnight in Perth.
Pour beer out for your homie.
Pour it, my mate.
You're going to
get me emotional now. We start
I know. As,
about
as soon as you
Tom
said
Hart,
Tom, I was like, Tom.
This thing will sell out in a heartbeat. Like, this is going to be the easiest sellout they've ever had. I mean, the time zone is not friendly. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not friendly to anyone. But it's going to sell out immediately. It's a huge marketplace. There is a great groundswell of grassroots level MMA, and they just haven't had the opportunity to compete inside a cage on an elite level, and this is going to afford them that opportunity. So it's a big, big deal.
I'm looking forward to it, and it did sound like, you know, they're at least considering the possibility of pay-per-view. You know, a big event, a really big event.
Yeah,
so.
And look, I mean, look, when we next reconvene and we're celebrating the fact that Robert Whittaker is the interim middleweight champion of the world, you know, that gives you possibility, you know, it gives you potential. So let's not diminish the fact that if that eventuates and if Robbie can get the job done, then it opens up a lot of doors for them in this marketplace.
Oh, I'm not doubting that guy anymore, man. Dude, from the time he moved up to 170.
I feel a little bit smug about it because I remember I want to say we were in Brisbane and I was talking to the great man John Morgan and he said, just name someone. Who's the next big thing? And I steadfastly laid my hand on Robert Whittaker and he said, oh, what about Jake Matthews? Oh, what about... You know, Mark's still in there. I was like, there's only a short list.
No
joke. It was
just a short list. You're dead right. I was like, man, I don't know, bro. He's moving up. He's going to reach a limit. Man, those top contenders at 185 are going to chew him up.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do when you don't kill yourself to make weight. You know, when you focus in on training and you focus in on health, all of a sudden the performances start adding up for you. And that's exactly what he's done. And he's an absolute beast. I mean,
hard to doubt it now.
Who saw that coming against Jacare? I mean, that was just
phenomenal.
I tell you who saw that coming. Rob saw that coming.
Yeah.
He might have been the only person in the world that was like, foregone conclusion. Yep. The fight's already over.
Bro, is your elbow okay there, man? You're patting yourself on the back there, man. I don't want you to twist anything
It's a coincidence that our name is similar. I was giving the man himself credit, John Morgan. Come on now, please.
Hey, listen, all right, talking about sellouts, I did want to ask you.
My
understanding, we're here in New Zealand. I know this is not your home country, but I know you got your finger on the pulse down here. What I understand, not a sellout yet.
Not a sellout yet.
Tickets doing really well, though, more than last time. Could be a sellout come fight day.
Yeah.
We'll see. What I want to know is, did that shock you? Because I'm not going to lie, you know, I'm going town to town. I'm not focused on the market thinking about that much. But when they said Mark Hunt, New Zealand, in my head, knowing that that building's not huge, it's, what, 10, 11,000?
Yep.
I thought... Done, sell out, instantaneous, done.
Have you seen the venue? Have you been out
to
the venue?
Yeah, because I was
there. It's a great venue. It's going to be a great venue to watch fights in.
Yeah,
it's a great venue to watch fights in. Look, it's an unfortunate reality of timing, I think, more than anything. You normally would think that the fight would sell out instantaneously, but when you factor in that, you know, the Lions touring rugby team is in town,
maybe an unnamed UFC official could tell us.
Maybe an unnamed UFC official could tell us. How are the ticket sales going, unnamed UFC official?
The ticket sales are really good.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That was the best disguised voice ever.
I have no idea who that was.
Who could that possibly be? Wow.
Next
level. He sounded like he was from Texas. Was he from Texas? Is there a UFC official from Texas?
I thought he was from some bayou out in the backwaters somewhere because that accent started dripping.
So what do you think, John? Do you think we're going to sell it on Friday?
I think you're going to see a bit of walk-up. I think you're going to see a lot of people who are going to come up last minute. We're going to talk carefully while the official UFC party is informing behind
that
us.
Unnamed guy.
Look, it's a hard thing to sell out in this market when you have, you know, there's a finite amount of people. And you guys were lucky enough. You went out to the rugby the other night. I believe you saw just how tribal that is and how big that is over here. And when you have a touring party coming out to the country where it happens every once a decade, you know, it's a hard thing to market against. So they're close. I think they're going to get closer.
Yeah.
And they're going to get some solid walk-ups. I'd be surprised if they don't. It'll be very close.
That's what we heard. We heard it was a really good town for walk-ups.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's cool. All right, let's talk about the main event itself. We're a little bit excited. We're not – I mean, you know, again, as you said.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, we favor people, but you develop relationships with people. We're excited about Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis has been a good guy to us. We've been in a lot of his fights.
Hard not to be excited about Derek Lewis.
He's a fun fighter, right? He's a fun personality to interview. Right, he's a fun guy. Give me your thoughts on the fight itself. And if you want to do it from an Australian point of view, do it that. If you want to do it from, you know, a fair point of view. Because, I mean, here's the thing is that, I mean, there's no way you can ever just – look at a Mark Hunt fight and say, right, there's no way Mark Hunt wins. Of course, Mark Hunt has a chance to win any fight.
It's a brave man that writes someone that can hit the way Mark Hunt can hit off in a heartbeat. Look, I mean, I honestly think, you know, we say it a lot, but this is anyone's fight. This is kind of a 50-50 fight for mine. Mark's a much more technical striker. Derek maybe has, you know, just the edge maybe in terms of the power and the speed that he brings to the table. It's a coin toss. It's a coin toss. You know, these are two guys that could... I mean, would it surprise you to see either one of these guys get knocked out off one punch?
No.
Would it surprise you to see either one of these guys just throw leather for five rounds?
No.
Like, it could go either way. So it really comes to... It's going to come down to the conditioning of each guy, I think, at the end of the day. Both guys can throw a punch and both guys can take a punch. Like, I would argue no one else in this division, certainly not inside the UFC. So, it's a coin toss. I've never bet against someone like Mark, but I certainly am not going to bet against Derek to get the job done as well.
It's a quintessential slugfest.
Yeah, it really is.
Here's what I want to ask, too. The lawsuit. It's hanging out there. There's no way to avoid it, right? Now, I doubt that Mark Hunt is reading over legal papers every day and going over, you know, strategies of his attorneys.
I worry
and
for his
not.
Case if he's the one that's fronting up doing
so,
that. But here's
what I wonder, and I broached the subject briefly with him. He got a little testy with me. I know he doesn't want to focus on it. And you know what? I can respect that. On fight week, I get it. You
absolutely.
Want to focus
on
your fight. But I had to ask. I can't fly all the way from the United States and ask.
You wouldn't be the best MMA journalist in the business if you weren't asking those questions.
That's true. I had to ask a little bit. But I do wonder. I mean, it does seem like the UFC is treating him fairly. It doesn't seem like anybody
else. Yeah, I mean, I certainly, from my interactions with Mark, his team, with the UFC and with them in the same room, it certainly doesn't seem like they're treating him any differently than they have
like
the
it.
Entire course of his career. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Mark's never been the most – he's never been the easiest guy to work with at the best of times, you know, and maybe that's, you know, slightly enhanced now, but I don't think – I mean, yeah, it's happening. It's there in the background. It's not going away in a hurry, you know. Like, it's going to play its course and we're going to see, you know, it'll eventuate into whatever happens. I don't think that's really – it's in his – mindset as he goes into fight week. The only reason it is because guys like you and me, we're asking him about it because it's news, it's topical, we want to know.
I think if we're looking at intangibles, I don't think we have to factor it in.
I honestly don't think it does. And look, Mark is nothing if not content with where he's at in his career and in his life at this point, I don't think. You talk to him and he's like, look, if this is the last fight I have, then I'm fine with that. If it's not the last fight I have, I'm fine with that too.
And he has been saying that.
But you know what? He's been saying that for the last three fights.
Yeah, so but it seems like it hits a little bit more
because it's
closer
home.
To true
it's
now.
Home, isn't it? It's New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, this would be the perfect
place.
He hasn't
fought here 16 years ago, I think it was, off the top of my head. He fought a kickboxing match, which he lost to the great Peter Graham. So, there's a lot on the line for him here just in terms of, you know, personally speaking. He'll play it down, but he wants to win this fight.
It's interesting because win or lose, it would be one of those beautiful moments to walk away. Like, I thought Nogueira should have retired when he beat Schaub in Rio.
Yep.
I thought Vanderlei should have retired when he beat Stan in Japan. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that would be amazing. So win or lose, it would be a beautiful way to walk away.
It would be,
Let me ask you something about the lawsuit itself because I want to know from your point of view. From my point of view, the lawsuit seems a little ridiculous. Like the whole, like, RICO laws and, you know, I mean, it seems a little bit bizarre. But I love what he's trying to accomplish. I love that. It does, and I've said it before, and I need to say it more. I find it utterly stupid that if a guy misses weight by a pound, you get part of his paycheck. Yeah. But if he's proven to have taken steroids, sorry, man.
Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, it does seem fair. I don't know about 100%.
Sure.
But, I mean, what he's trying to
do. And look, you're seeing California taking some steps to sort of remedy that side of
the equation. So what's your take from this part of the world? Because, the lawsuit seems a little extreme to me. Yeah. Some of the wording seems a little, like, much. Yeah. And because of that, I fear the message is almost lost a little bit.
Well, I think the message, I mean, to Mark's detriment, some of the message is lost just because of the way that he's presented it in a lot of ways. You know, he was obviously, you know, the thing that people point to is the interview he did on MMA Fighting on
Never
heard of that one? Okay.
I'll find it. I'll
look it up. Google it. Google it. But he was really emotional. You know, he was angry and he was upset and he'd just gone through getting his ass beaten by Brock Lesnar. Now, anyone off the back of that is going to be a little upset when someone comes to you asking these questions and you've just found out, no, this guy got done for steroids. So the argument is sort of damaged in a way just on purely from an optics point of view. Because of how emotional he was and sort of what he put out there and how he approached it. I don't think there's anyone that would look at what he's saying. And just if you stop and put the bullshit to the side and look at what he's saying, he's making some great points.
Right.
And good on him for doing it. Because not a lot of people are talking, you know, maybe more so now than we've seen in previous years, but not a lot of people are making this argument. So it's a great thing that he's actually stepping out and bringing these issues to the light. Will it pay off? You know, who knows?
I like it, man. And I hope. Here's what I hope. Is that, let's say this is his last fight, that he'll continue the battle.
Yeah.
That he'll continue the battle. You know, make the changes.
And it feels like he will. You know, if you when you talk to him and you guys talk to him as well, it doesn't feel like – I'm as cynical as anyone. I work in the media. We're all cynical, right?
Right.
It felt like a cash grab at first. It felt like he wants to get more cash because he lost the fight. Didn't get, you know.
Sure.
It doesn't feel that way anymore to me. Like, if that was the case, I feel like
it
the
UFC stopped by
are,
now.
Are the sort of organization that they will pay for it to go away.
That's
you know,
true.
They'll throw a little something if it's going to go away and it's not going to be the PR disaster that our friends don't like. So it feels like that's not necessarily what Mark's about.
You know what?
Anymore.
I hadn't even really thought about that. Yeah. You know what? I mean, if it was about $2 million, They could pay him $2 million.
Give it
to him. I wonder if in some way that's a little bit of like a tacit approval that they're okay with him fighting the fight.
Yeah.
Because they almost agree with it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I mean, obviously they don't agree with them being like charged with RICO and stuff like that.
But they kind of need to at this point, because if you think about it, the guys that he's got the beef with is the previous iteration as well.
It's interesting.
So these new guys coming in, when they take over, it's like, do you want that hanging over your head, or do you want to be the guys that are coming out and saying, no, we agree, we're on the front foot, we're battling this.
So funny, man, because, you know, I'm so like on the front lines of like fights, you know, that sometimes when it comes like the business.
Well, it's hard
things,
not to be when you're at every event on the UFC calendar, John Borg.
Goddamn right, that's what's up. But that's a great point. All right, let's talk about Derek Brunson, Daniel Kelly.
Yep.
Is this finally the time that Daniel Kelly becomes Daniel Kelly?
Oh, is this the time he becomes? Look, he's already Daniel Kelly. This man's a multiple Olympian. He's the ultimate underdog. You know what? I've said this to Dan in the past. It's like, the minute he's no longer an underdog, that's when I'll start to worry. Until then, this guy is, you've got a minute and a half to knock him out, and if you can't do it, you're in for a world of hurt. You're in for a horrible, horrible night at the office. I think it's fair to say if Dan Kelly wins this fight, he's no longer the old man at the back of the pack.
It's hilarious.
He's firmly ensconced in the top 10 of this division, which is one of the most dangerous divisions inside of the entire UFC.
It's the most insane run ever. Like, I have been fortunate enough to come down here for so many of his fights, and I've said, I don't think people realize in America what a star this guy is, how beloved he is, like a folk hero. You know,
and
what I mean?
Even more so when, you know, all the stuff that came out in the last Melbourne fight, you know, his family situation and what he goes through. He is the nicest human being you'll meet when you come south of the equator. And then you see what he does inside the octagon, the ultimate underdog that just goes out there, throws hell for leather, takes a beating, gives a beating. I mean, there's what's not to like?
Yeah. Love it. I love. You know, we talked to him, and it was funny. I there's no other way to start out. I'm just like, hey, stop me if you've heard this one.
Yeah.
You're a huge underdog.
Yeah.
Everybody's counting you out. You know, he just, you know, huge laugh, has a great roar. But
such a genuine laugh.
I think, genuine,
you know,
laugh.
You can tell he really gets a kick out of it because he's embraced the fact. You know, I think there's some guys out there like, yeah, I'm an underdog, and they can take it with the chip on their shoulder. Mm. He's embraced it, and he has a good laugh about it.
100%.
And it was so warm, and even Dan Stupp, our boss, will stand up. He was like, I watched it like over and over and over. And I think when I watched it after the fact, it's like there's something so genuine about watching a fighter that just embraces the fact that people are going to hate on me. People are always going to do it. And he's like, fuck it. But I just go out and do
and
it.
And I like what he
and
says.
And it was wonderful. It was
wonderful to see it. He was like, I got to get through the first 2 minutes against any opponent. Yeah. You know, and he kind of admits. He's like, dude, I'm vulnerable. I'm an old man that's kind of vulnerable to start with.
Best hope you stop him in that first 2 minutes. Otherwise, he's a zombie. He just walks through everything. Yeah. It's insane. He's such a down-to-earth player. This is a guy that they weighed in today, he would have had a glass of red wine. First thing he would have done, gone back and had a nice glass of Shiraz off the break.
I've been saying, some Shiraz.
Yeah, anyway, everyone loves a bit of Shiraz. The issue with his knee came up after post the Rashad fight, and everyone was saying, oh, your knee's really taped up.
Yeah.
We've joked with Dan a lot, that's the lingering effects of the first head kick he'd ever thrown against Antonio Carlos Jr. And the thing landed. So this is just a guy that keeps delivering. You can't underestimate an Olympian. That's what I say. I don't care. If you were good enough to make it to the Olympics, you're good enough to take on the best in the world. And that's what he's doing, and he's proving all the doubters wrong. And I say keep him an underdog forever, because as long as he's an underdog, he's going to keep winning fights.
I hope people watching this fight will realize what a folk hero this guy is here, man. It's amazing. All right, Dan Hooker, Ross Pearson. Dan Hooker moving up to lightweight.
Yep.
I find this fight very intriguing. I like Dan Hooker.
He's a lot bigger than Ross. Did you notice that?
He's
a lot bigger than Ross.
And we met this guy in his UFC debut, and I liked him. He has a swagger. I like his attitude. I like
He's kind of a thin, lanky
I like his walkout
guy.
Tracks. He always picks some good music to come into. Yeah, I like this kid. But, you know, he's 6 foot tall. I mean, I think he makes sense at lightweight. Ross Pearson,
That's a tough fight, though.
A veteran that may be on the downside of his career.
Sure.
He's been through some crazy decisions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I think you can't understand with Ross is you look back at the losses he's suffered recently. Some of them have been razor-close split decision losses in a lot of cases. And against top-flight competition, you know, I mean, I look at the Will Brooks fight. You can make an argument that Ross won that fight.
Yep.
And that's against, you know, top-flight competition. So, yeah, he might be on a downslide on the record sheet, but this is a guy that's still in there and banging with
the
best of them.
I'm interested. And then you look at Hooker. I mean, the guys he lost to at featherweight, Jason Knight. Love Jason Knight.
Yeah, awesome.
Yair Rodriguez.
He's really battling some tomato cans.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm really intrigued by this fight, man. I think Dan's going to be so much healthier at 155.
Yeah,
man.
Look, and you've heard me say it, John, ad nauseum. If you're not cutting weight like that, you're a different guy. You're fighting, you're healthy, you're happy, you're enjoying the process. So many of these guys cut so much weight, and it's just the last 3 weeks of any fight camp are miserable. You see these guys, they're emancipated, they're hating life. If you come in fresh and happy, you're a different fighter altogether. He's fighting at home. He's got a point to prove. He's coming off, you know, a loss. So I think you're going to see a reinvigorated Dan Hooker. And it's a tough fight for both these guys. This is one where they're going to go in there and they're going to scrap.
Because you can't count out Ross.
You can't count out Ross. Ross is in a good place right now because his gym is firing on the central coast of New South Wales as well. So.
I should say this. Did you see this? Simon Head, who used to work for The Sun, shared a link to me, which is hilarious. So The Sun in London wrote a piece about Ross Wilson. Yep. Had a whole story.
They fucked up and
about
put the wrong
British
wow.
fighter now living in Australia, married to an Octagon girl.
Ross Wilson. He'll
and
love
I was
that.
like the Seattle Seahawks quarterback. Like, yeah. Was that, like, just hilarious. Yeah, they wrote a whole thing. And wow. not that I would you know, hey, we all fuck up. I ain't going to try to pretend like I ain't made a typo before or something like
Cole
that.
Cole Coffey's never fucked up in his life. What are you talking about?
That guy hasn't. Please. Me, though, I have. But I don't know. You know, knowing Simon Head and his relationship with The Sun. And
well, knowing how they kind of dissed him on the end. Then you're just like, you know, all right, yeah, fuck you guys.
I'm not
going to
lie.
Suck now.
All right.
Hilarious, though.
I'm going to say one thing only, and it's the only thing that matters about the Ion Cutelaba-Henrique da Silva fight. If you're a male, you want to pray that Ion Cutelaba wins because I've seen his translator.
Really?
And that's all I'm saying.
God bless. God bless. All right.
Tim Elliott versus Ben Wynn. We touched on it a little bit.
This is fight of the night.
Dude,
there's no question.
Right? This is it. This is the one we're all looking forward to. How crazy is this? Ben Wynn has a fight with Joseph Benavidez, which I thought the matchmaking, I was like, well, that's a little weird, but good for Ben. And it's hard for Joseph to get fights right now. Joseph gets hurt.
Yep.
He's bummed. He was supposed to be the guy that opened the UFC gym and said,
there
goes
ACL,
Francis
right?
Ngannou.
Like his knee's blown, right?
Yeah. Instead, Francis Ngannou gets to take over the UFC gym. but Tim Elliott steps in.
Yeah.
Love this fight. Stylistically, Ben Wynn may not be number one contender, but I think he matches up well. Yeah. I think he at least is exciting. I think, as you said,
and,
I think
Ben wasn't that far removed from being in a contention fight. You know, the Louis Smolka fight kind of derailed him a little bit, but he was right up there in terms of, you know, flyweight division, let's not kid ourselves, a little thin when you consider like how easily DJ's been kind of cleaning it out, assuming it sticks around, of course. I would argue that this is a good matchup for both of these guys because for Tim Elliott, it's a tough brawler, and for Ben, it's a top-ranked competitor. So this got fired and not all over. I cannot wait to see this one.
I'm not going to get too much because you know we're focused more on the road and the cars.
Yeah, saying. I know.
But I swear to God,
threw
dude,
a little one in there.
If what
I love that. I mean, I said on the show the other way, like, if any one of those statements is true, then there's bigger problems afoot.
I've had a couple people tell me, like, hey,
exactly.
You don't know the whole story yet. So I'm excited to hear the whole story. But, yeah, I'm telling you what, right? I'm going to say this right now. Well, no, this is how
it's. Oh, God, you can't, like, put it out there and then say it.
Well, this is how I support my
family. Own your shit, John
this
Morgan.
This is how I support my family, so it would be hard for me to say this. But I swear to God, dude, if they were like, fuck the flyweight division just because this fight can't get me made, like, my initial statement, I was like, fuck covering the sport. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But this is how I pay my bills, and I have a son, and I pay.
Yeah.
But
I would become
public enemy number one against USC because
for all
that
their
would be
bullshit,
a bullshit decision.
For all their bullshit and bluster, there's no way that they're going to go
what
down
I think.
That path. Like, let's not kid. I do not doubt that maybe that was said in the heat. I mean, we all know who said that. And
Is
he an emotional cat at the best of times?
What?
Come on.
What?
No.
So
no. I don't doubt that maybe that was said, but it's not going to happen.
Right.
Come on, please.
I mean, if that happened, like, literally, we'd all have to step back and be like, we're covering a shit show. We're not even covering a real fucking
show. We're covering an entertainment company at that point.
All right. Just rounding out the main card, Mizuto Arota, Alex Volkanovski.
Yeah. You know how big I am on Alex.
I know.
I was impressed. I called it on your show last
year. You did.
Last year. I was pretty pleased with that one, actually.
You did. And I think this is a fight that sets up well for him.
Yeah.
He's
the heavy favorite.
Why is there a
heavy? Oh, my good lord.
Clown.
This is why we say come to Australia, right? We'd be sitting at the bar, we're having a few drinks, we're talking some fights, and a fucking clown walks in.
It just happens. I mean,
perfectly normal.
I love it.
I mean,
I love it.
Pretend it doesn't happen, or do we just?
I don't know. These feel like the sort of things that we warn children about in school, and that we call
that you
the
say
authorities
like,
on, right?
You say, "Watch out for Zealand."
I'm gonna tweet this right now.
So crazy. I lost my train of thought.
Look at that. It takes a fair amount. Like, we are three fairly tragically, pathetically obsessed MMA heads, right?
Right.
It takes a fair bit to derail our conversation.
I know.
And that has just sent us off into the stratosphere.
Well, it made me think because that new movie, It's coming out in the States.
If he was holding a red balloon, I was running out of the room right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I'm
What's
still
the character's
off.
Name?
It was
just,
Pennywise. You're talking
Pennywise.
About Pennywise.
I just almost added the tag UFC Vancouver. I don't even know why.
because that's how affected
off,
you
dude.
Are right now. That is how affected you are right now.
I love it.
All right.
Let me get you back on track and talk about Alex Volkanovski. This is a guy that's going in. He's going in as a heavy, heavy favorite, which shows you just how much people think of this guy off the back of one super impressive performance inside the UFC. He's taking on a veteran. It's not an easy fight, by any stretch of the imagination. But it is at featherweight, which is more of Alex's natural weight class. Obviously, he made his debut at lightweight. And I can tell you for a fact from talking to guys who spar with him, train with him in the gym, Alex is the heaviest featherweight on earth. Once he's on top of you, it's like
he's a good size,
pure granite on top of you. So this is his fight to lose. I think it could be a showcase performance for the man that likes to be known as the great.
I got to be honest with you, Rob. I normally trust your opinion, but I'm actually the heaviest featherweight on earth.
Okay. I believe you. I'll take your word for it.
It's a hard cut, but I make flyweight every once in a while.
How much pressure are you putting on the towel when you're weighing in there?
Oh, how great was that? Derek Lewis, got to love it. All right, listen, we've got some frosty beverages to drink.
Let me throw two names at you before we go, though, because we got some debutantes coming up.
See, I was going to ask you.
I shouted out the debutantes last time, and they both got up.
Well,
so
that's
I feel like
well,
maybe
I
if I throw
me,
that out into
let
the aura.
Let me finish my final question.
Okay, all right.
I wasn't going to rush you off stage.
Well, you know, when you mention frosty beverages, that normally means we're winding up.
That means we're going to break.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The clown's freaking me out of here.
That's understandable.
But it's probably the two names that you were going to bring up. Luke Jumeau.
Yeah.
Ashkin Mokhtarian.
100%.
So can you break down both of them? Because I was going to ask, because here's the thing. We talked to both of them.
Mm.
Luke Jumeau, I loved it. First of all, his attitude is awesome. The fact that the guy's been literally working his whole life to get to USC, has kids, full-time job. You know, you kind of wonder, like, how does that affect your path?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This guy.
Sleeper fight on the card, that one. Luke is a real, real talent. He's a strong guy. He doesn't look like much when you look at him. He's a smaller sized guy, but he packs such a punch. Mm-hmm. Such a punch. I saw him fight up in Brisbane late last year. He took on UFC veteran Vic Grujic, and he just when he went in for the kill, it was a sight to behold. So
this guy's the real deal.
I think he's legit. Yeah, I think he's going to go out there. He's going to put on a show. I mean, what more motivation do you need to be fighting first time in the UFC in your hometown?
And taught me a word because he is a full-time panel beater.
There you go.
Which I had to
Google.
You
didn't know what a panel beater was?
Well, I may have beat a few panels
in my life. I thought you were a man of the world,
John.
I'm disappointed by
that. Now, in trusting my Google, does that basically mean he works on cars? He does
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you crash your car, he'll fix it for you.
I mean, it
makes
sense.
Oh, like he fixes the panels on the car.
He beats the panels.
Beats the dent out?
I don't know
don't
what that
ever make
gesticulation
that,
that you were doing.
That was me having an imaginary mallet
gesticulation earlier,
out
and then you're just throwing that shit out onto the table. That's disgusting. Ashkan Mokhtarian's the other one, John, who you mentioned there.
Okay, let me ask you. All right, so before you say a word, I want to ask because, all right, I kind of have a penchant, I think, for people that other people think are assholes.
Yeah.
I like Mike Perry. I like Alex Nicholson. I like people that other people think are assholes because I kind of like
that's why you like cold coffee.
100%.
Exactly.
100%. I like kind of seeing the real person behind it.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I liked him. Yeah. And he shows up, and he's got the eye tattoo. Which
immediately
which
so many people just write him off.
Yeah,
because of that.
Which is crazy because he's been through a hard life, his drug addiction,
and
living
we'll
on the streets.
And we'll happily own that.
Yeah.
We'll happily admit
that. And he has a you know, a grill in his mouth during our interview.
A little ponytail coming out.
But I'll tell you what. I like somebody with a little edge on him.
Yeah.
I like somebody
he's
with a little edge
of
on
that.
Him.
And, everyone likes a bad boy.
I love John Moraga. I mean, I'm not – dude, every time I see John Moraga's name, I think it's my name. I like just the instant sight recognition.
And the resemblance
like,
is uncanny.
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny.
I'm
so
like,
close.
Oh, shit, I accidentally typed my name into a headline or I accidentally typed my name into – so it always throws me off. But, dude – Ashkin seems like the real deal.
Yeah, look, and the only unknown with that, Ash is part of – he runs ATT in Australia, in Sydney, in Australia, Australian top team. And they are, regionally speaking, arguably the strongest gym on the Australian circuit. Mm. You know, if you go to the regional shows, the Hex, the Brace, the, you know, the local products, they are a fairly dominant team. And that's off the back of him and his brother, who's a bantamweight, Suman Mokhtarian. Suman's partner was due to debut on this card as well. Unfortunately, she suffered an injury, so she's not in there. So it's one of the strongest gyms going around.
I didn't know that. So yeah, she was the one.
She was due to fight JJ Aldrin.
Yeah,
she was
going
to debut
okay.
against JJ Aldrin. Cool. She hurt us. She unfortunately injured, so out of that one. So such a strong gym, and that's purely off the back of Ash and his brother Suman Mokhtarian. Just untested against someone the caliber of John Moraga. That's the only thing. The only knock you could put against him is, like, how do you know how someone who's never fought at that level is going to compete against someone who has fought a champion, you know, has gone, you know, to the absolute highest levels of the sport. Ash is an absolute beast. He's got, I like to call it that little man strength. He's just this, you look at him and I'm about 3 foot taller than him and weigh about 50 kilo more, and I don't want to borrow him. I'm staying the hell away from everything.
Is that a lot?
He's terrifying.
Talk about his character, because I will say this.
That's a lot.
50 kilos, that's a lot. Is that a lot?
I enjoyed our vacation. Why did I say vacation?
You on vacation?
I enjoyed our vacation.
She's always on vacation.
They need to work you harder, John.
You should have seen this dude, man. Brazil was just a vacation for him.
I'm going to tell you what it was.
He was just down.
You were talking about, is it a lot? Is 50 kilos a lot of... And in my head, kilos changed to something else that became vacation. It was bizarre.
Yeah, he was
because you're thinking of 50 kilos like in drugs and stuff. You're like, that's vacation.
He just found himself back in the favelas, loving life.
If I'm being honest, I'm pretty sure that's where my brain went, and that's why
I didn't realize that event was in Colombia. I thought they were in Rio. We couldn't see his trademark blue shirt.
Actually, going to ask you about is the interview that we had with him. I enjoyed it, but I know Cool Coffee, you know, helps, you know, kind of keep an eye on the social media platforms and stuff like that. And I think he was getting like ripped on YouTube, right? Where people were like, who the F is this guy? Like,
yeah, a couple guys.
So, I mean, is his character respected here? I mean, is it?
No, I think he's somewhat unknown, I think, is the reality. You guys know you've been down in the Australian marketplace. Until you hit the big show, you're not really known amongst the greater majority of people. So he's somewhat of an unknown. I think the minute, and you guys got this, when you actually talk to him, when you engage, he's a riveting guy. He's smart.
Yep.
He's funny. He's very self-aware. He's not trying to fool anyone. He knows the mistakes he's made in the past. He knows what this game has been able to provide for him. And, you know, it's rebuilt his life.
And why should people love that? I mean, a guy comes from a shitty background and builds himself into something amazing.
Yeah.
But I feel like he kind of walks around the chip on his shoulder. Like, he feels like people judge him because of where he came from. Like,
maybe.
To me, I don't know, maybe it's more of an American mindset. Like, I love the underdog story, the guy that came from nothing and became something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I couldn't agree more. When he signed with the UFC and we got him in on our show at Fox, you know, I didn't know much about him outside of, I knew he ran ATT and I knew he was successful on the regional circuits, but I'd never met him, I'd never spoken to him. And I asked around with the guys that I deal with, I was like, what's this guy like? And it was very much that. It was kind of a polarizing guy because that's how they present themselves. You know, and you know what it's like when you go to some of these fight shows. Some of the teams, you know, the backs are up.
Yeah.
They like to present a front. So when he first came in, I thought, all right, that might just be who Ash is. He was a dude. You know, we hung out, we talked shop, we talked fights. He was a great guy. He was taking photos with people. He was loving life. He was enjoying the. I think he's going to go out there. He's going to surprise a few people. He's nothing if not a student of the game. He loves fighting. He loves the sport. He loves everything that comes with it. So I think he's gonna. You know, he goes out there and he puts on a performance. All that hate that you're seeing, I think that goes away.
I agree.
All right. Last thing I want to say, and it's funny because I didn't know that was a replacement. Chan Mi-jeon came in tonight. She missed weight tonight.
She missed weight. A couple of pounds, right?
Yeah, 118
3 pounds.
But two. But I will say, a 19-year-old coming in to make her debut, that's
pretty
amazing. I love seeing youth.
Yeah.
I love seeing that, man. It excites me.
And it almost doesn't matter what happens in the cage
right?
to a certain point because the fact that on short notice coming in, at such a young age, what the learning
she's
curve
have
that she's going to go through throughout however the amount of time she spends inside that octagon, the next fight she's going to be so much better for it. So
it'll
be interesting to see.
I love watching that next generation.
And look, you saw with like a great example, Cynthia Cavillo,
right?
Comes out there and just who expected that?
Nobody.
And then now main event, like, she made
hair.
Against JoJo, right?
So ridiculous.
So it just shows, you know, you make the best of whatever opportunity is thrown in front of you. And that's what these Aussie guys are doing. That's what these Kiwi guys are doing. And that's exciting to see.
And that's what we have to do because the opportunity in front of us right now is a whole shitload of frosty beverages.
There's
an unnamed USC official over there with a bizarre accent that nobody knows what he's talking about.
Sounded very trustworthy, wouldn't you say?
He did sound very trustworthy. Tickets. going well.
Bill, I like to refer to him as the cold face of the UFC.
All right, listen.
Boys, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me back on your,
thank you,
on your podcast.
Thank you very much for joining
best
us.
Best in the business, the MMA Junkie crew. Thank you for coming out here. Repping for the global media.
Can you just, hey, can you just close it out because that voice is so good and I'm kind of nasally. Can you just give it a thanks for listening?
Oh, the soulful sounds.
A thanks for listening. That's kind of my, that's kind of the way I sign off.
We're
I
closing say, out the whole show. That's a lot of pressure, yeah, John Morgan. I want to thank all the people out there for listening, tuning in here on, what do you call it, the MMA Road Show. Cold coffee in
plug
the house.
Plug iTunes.
But of course, you can check us out on iTunes. Maybe give us a comment, a like, subscribe. Do they do that on iTunes? I don't even know.
Rate us, review us.
Maybe rate it. Give us a review. Talk about how much you love that Australian guy and his soulful voice that was closing out the
buy
show.
Buy us a cold beer the next time we're
cold
in the place.
Beers. We know we're all about the frosty beverages. And that's about all the time we have.
Bring it home. Thanks for listening.
That's all the time we have. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thank you so much for listening. It's time to close things out here from, what do we call
that
it?
It was so easy.
I know, but he's getting there. He's coming back around.
Okay, go ahead.
Circling around, man. I was trying to throw in some witty comment. Circle us back around to Ben Wynn, trash bagging here on in this beautiful city of Auckland. Until next time, John Morgan, Cold Coffee,
yes.
Rob Tasker, cold face of the UFC, we're out.
Thanks for listening.